Well, good morning. We'll start off today talking about the Rebuild Iowa and disaster bill that passed out of committee yesterday in the House. That bill is going to be debated in appropriations today, and we're going to continue to move it out of committee. And if there are changes to it, we're going to work with the administration to make sure that those changes occur. They want until the end of the week to make sure that it doesn't affect federal funding. We ran into this problem last fall when we wanted to help out some of the communities that were affected by disasters. So we want to make sure that we don't do anything to hurt ourselves in the process. So we're going to make sure that everybody has a chance to dot their I's and cross their T's in this before we move the bill onto the floor for debate. And we'll be working with them to make sure that any changes that need to occur to the actual languages in the bill will get done. So we're hoping to debate the bill early part of next week, and it will go through appropriations today, and we're going to put it on the calendar. It's been very bipartisan at this point. I know Representative Tom Sands is very happy with the process, and so is Representative Grassley and Representative Paulson. And so our goal is to make sure that we can get this bill done as quickly as possible, have it as our first bill. We were hoping to do it by the end of this week, and quite frankly, on the governor's desk by Monday. But the important part is that we don't do harm to the state or to any assistance they can get from the federal government. So we just want to make sure that we're doing it in an appropriate form at this time. It'll have a little bit more increased funding. It's about, I think, $56 million is what it's at right now. We won't be funding the Rio office in that bill, but we'll have statutory language to create the office, and it will also be sunsetted in that bill.
So to be clear, what you're saying is you're going to slow down for a day or so to let some agencies review the language.
That's correct.
Okay. Where will the money come for the Rebuild Iowa?
That will go through the regular budgeting process where they'll have to go in just like any budget committee and ask for dollars. One of the things that's very strong in both our caucus and the Republican caucus is people don't want to be using the Economic Emergency Fund. They believe that that should be to help victims in Iowa of disasters and floods. They really don't want dollars out of that fund being used for the purposes of funding a bureaucracy, and there seems to be pretty strong bipartisan support for that position. So I think that will have to be debated separately later through the regular budgeting process.
When do you agree with the Rio office's decision to hire a lobbyist or liaison?
They're going to have to sell that to 51 members of the House and 26 members of the Senate. I think that'll be a very good debate that we'll probably have. We're going to make them go through the same process as everybody else. We understand that there's a need for them to have people to voice their concerns over here. We understand that. But at the same point, too, we want to make sure that the focus is on helping communities rebuild, whether it's Oakville, Columbus Junction, Cedar Rapids, or Iowa City, or Waterloo, or Charles City. So the bottom line is we are going to make that go through the regular budgeting process. We're not just going to hand over $3 million. So that will be a separate piece that will be debated later.
So to read the tea leaves of what you just said, are you unhappy that they hired a lobbyist?
Okay, you know me. I'm never unhappy.
Are you happy?
Well, I'm not usually happy either, no.
You were just singing the Duran Duran song, Rio.
I think it's going to get real close scrutiny. I just think it's one of those things that people have legitimate concerns, and so I think if we're going to put dollars into that, we want the overwhelming dollars to go strictly towards directed towards victims and communities that have been affected by flooding. I wouldn't say we're happy or unhappy. I just think we have concerns about what's occurring at this point.
We also expect the middle of next week to get the governor's budget, and that will begin our process. The leaders will consult and decide when and what we're going to do about targets relative to our budget subcommittee. So we expect to have some news next week on what the governor's recommending in terms of the budget. So we'll be taking a look at that. That's kind of a preview of next week. So,
what day do you expect to get
it? Midweek. I'm guessing it's Wednesday or Thursday. So,
are you getting briefed on your Tuesday?
Not that I know of yet, but that's certainly possible. Yeah.
When do you want to close the Rio office?
I'm not sure the sunset date that's in the bill, but there
2011.
Is it 2011? So yeah, it had about 3 years.
Is it fair to say the session will actually begin next week when you get your hands in the governor's budget?
Well, you know, obviously the first week, a lot of organizational effort inside both chambers. This second week for the Senate in particular, preoccupied with the death of a colleague and funeral, so that kind of took yesterday out. As you know, the inauguration on Tuesday kind of took Tuesday out. So yes, this first 2 weeks has not been a lot of activity, but we do have the organizational parts done. Our committees have met. Most of them have adopted rules. So we're through that part of the process. And in that sense, next week we will start floor action, we will start passing bills, and we have not yet done that. We've had committee action, we've got bills out on the calendar, so there's been some activity, but the first 2 weeks haven't had floor.
One teaser for next week, we'll have some details for you, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. Sometime over the next week and a half, our new standing subcommittee on the House side on ag bankruptcies will start holding hearings on the Verisun issue. And we'll have more details for you early next week. We just don't have the details yet.
Senator Grosdahl, we've got 300 veterans up here today. They're asking for $5 million for the trust fund, fully funding the county veterans directors, fully funding the veterans home, protecting them from across-the-board budget cuts. You think you're going to say no to everybody? Are you going to say no to veterans?
Look, I think it's too early to tell what we're going to do overall on the state budget. We'll get the governor's numbers next week. We have always provided the appropriate resources for the Iowa Veterans Homes. If people are looking for money for trust funds, I think it's unlikely we'll be able to come up with that in this year. It's going to be a very tough year, and we are going to be saying no to lots of people, regardless of who they are.
I'll just add this. I mean, first of all, I think veterans have to take a look at what we did last year. We helped fund the offices that currently weren't being funded. There were several counties in the state that didn't even have a veterans office. We also went out and protected their jobs. We were having employers in the state that would not protect people's jobs when they went to Iraq or Afghanistan. We dealt with that. And then we started a dedicated revenue source for the Iowa Veterans Trust Fund. And so we've done, and quite frankly, if you talk to veterans, they'll say that the best year that they've had in the last 50 years was probably last year. We will continue to put a dedicated revenue source off those lottery tickets into that trust fund. But I also think the other part that we need to ask veterans, and I've had this visit with Ray Zirkelbach, who chairs the Veterans Affairs Committee, we're asking the veterans to start taking a look at, I know they want to build up their trust fund, but I just think it's ridiculous that when we have veterans that are coming back that need mental health services that can't get them, to make sure that we can address some of those issues. So they're going to hear us talk today. I know they're going to ask us for more money, but I do think one of the things they need to focus on is, instead of just putting money in the Veterans Trust Fund, the goal needs to be who needs help out of that fund now. And Representative Zirkelbach is talking about the fact that it's really an issue in rural areas especially. So we're going to have some of those discussions with them today in regards to where we think they should be going and some of the things they should be focusing on, especially veterans that need services now, especially those that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Senator Grosdahl, how would you rank veterans among groups that...
I'm not going to spend time ranking groups up here. We're going to try and come up with a budget that works for the state of Iowa, meets Iowans' needs, but is fiscally responsible.
Given the budget reality, the budget that Culver presents, if it says no to somebody, I mean, given that you have meager resources this year, is it more likely than in past years that the budget that you passed will look more like his?
I think that remains to be seen. We have 25 new members in the House and the Senate. We have people that came here with ideas, and those ideas are going to be heard and dealt with in the process.
Go back to the Veterans Council bills, I think there's 12 of them. They've already been drafted and introduced, and they're in the Veterans Committee, and about half of them are no cost to the general fund. And so there is some issues with county executive commissions and boards out there as it relates to veterans, and we'll deal with those.
The governor has indicated that his cuts for fiscal year 10 will be more somewhat of an across-the-board fashion. It will affect almost everyone equally with a few exceptions. Do you feel like that's the right approach, or should we be more selective in terms of where we're heading?
Obviously, it depends on what the exceptions are. We'll wait until we see the governor's budget. The legislature has traditionally had some resistance over the last 25 years, some resistance to across-the-board cuts and some preference for selective cuts. That's kind of been the bias of the legislative branch. Late in the process, that becomes pretty hard to do, and at times the legislature has looked at across-the-board cuts. So that's just kind of the difference between the two institutions. So. Anything else?
Yesterday, Republicans were asking for more transparency in government. They wanted a website to kind of show taxpayers how their dollars are being spent. Do you feel like we have enough transparency? Do we need more of that?
I think the more accessible we make state government, the better off we are. The more understanding we give to the citizens of Iowa as to the choices we're making and why we make those choices, the better off we are. So I think we're all encouraged by the idea of more access to information for the public at large, and we think that's a great idea. We've actually got quite a bit available to people, as you know. People can literally track daily receipts by income source for the state of Iowa. So a bunch of information is available on the web already. Making more information available is a great idea.
And that bill was introduced in the House, and we're going to assign it to committee. I think it's going to get a legitimate look, and I think we'll probably have Democratic hosts. The bill that was introduced by Republicans just had Republican names on it, but I know there's members of our caucus that would like to co-sponsor that bill, so they will be putting their names on that bill. So I think it's a live round.
I'd say, you know, we'd like to see not just direct appropriations available for people for the public to review. We think it's also entirely appropriate to look at things like tax credits or incentives that are created inside state law so that Iowans can get an idea about whether it's money we spend out of the Treasury or money we say doesn't have to come into the Treasury. Those we'd like to see transparency on those issues as well. I think you got to be real careful about the way you describe this. The counties are already empowered to do that. They already have the capability of doing a 1 cent local option sales tax. So that's already available to them. The only thing this law does is allows Cedar Rapids to, or any other community for that matter, to speed that collection up. Okay. So for instance, this would not apply in Council Bluffs because we've already got a city local option tax, a countywide tax. So the communities that already have it, this doesn't do anything for them. But a county like Lynn that doesn't currently have the local option tax for local governments could do it and could impose it quicker. So we haven't. The only thing this allows is for it to go into effect on April 1st. Instead of on, I think it's July 1st, it may be January 1st. So it would allow them to speed it up.
What counties besides Lynn and Johnson
my understanding is there's about 85 counties that already have a local option tax.
But the counties that were declared disaster areas, are there any others besides Lynn and Johnson?
We think it's unlikely the way the bill is drafted with the timeline it's got. This would be if they have the election by March 3rd, as you know, there are only a few dates available for special elections based on the legislation we passed last year. This does not change that. So the March 3rd date is the date this election would be on. And we think it's unlikely, not impossible, unlikely that there are any other communities that would probably have the ability to get this done.
This is really just aimed at Cedar Rapids.
I think that was the intent. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
you wanted more than the yep. Sorry. Sorry. It's, oh, oh, oh. The other part of this, we think it's appropriate to give local governments some ability to help themselves out of their crisis. That's what this would allow Cedar Rapids and Linn County to do, to help themselves out of the difficult circumstances. We intend to be there and be partners with them. As you know, we'll be passing our disaster bill next week, but later we'll be passing a bonding bill, but we think letting the city of Cedar Rapids have this opportunity to help pull themselves up by their own bootstraps is important as well. Not that I know of, and that's why I want to be careful. I don't want people to think this is a new penny. This is the existing one that's already there, and it's just the timing of it. That's all it does. And so I suspect there won't be a lot of opposition to that because these communities can do it anyway, and it's just a question, is this tax going to start on July 1st or April 1st? And my understanding is for Linn County, that would be about $4 million to be able to do it 3 months earlier. Thank you very much.